You might like to turn in your Bible to Hebrews and chapter 7. And as we looked to the Lord, our Father and God, set apart thy word in thy grace for thy glory. And our Father will thank you for all that you do and how you do it. In Christ's name, amen. Actually, when you think about it, as we're looking at Hebrews and all of these things, ask yourself, if you might, in the world in which we live, how many people do you think understand anything much in Hebrews? People that go to church. In Exodus. Actually, we're in our society very, very, very biblically illiterate. And we come and go. And here we're going to do something that isn't often done, and at least try to do it, that you'll never hear it. And who cares anyway? Only God. And when I think about it, when it's all done, the book's going to be closed, and people are going to do what they're going to do. They think what they think and do what they do. That's the way it is. That's the way it's always been. So, with that in mind, we will try to exercise our little head and heart. Now, so in our study of the book of Hebrews, we're looking at Christ, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, who is distinctly his priesthood, is, for example, Genesis 14. His priesthood is unique, and so unique that the Lord Jesus Christ uses it to demonstrate the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose priesthood is after, like chapter 6, verse 20, whether the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So he's a very, 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 very special person, our Lord. And for many, 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 many reasons, mainly because he's God. Now, having said that, and considering that, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, the Gentile people, are very much caught up in the world in which they live. The Jewish people are caught up in the Judaism, and the synagogue, and law, and their traditions, priests, sacrifice. And the temple is still standing in 70 AD at this point. It's still standing. 70 AD it won't be, but right now it is. So therefore, to the Jewish people, it's very, very real, the world, the world they live in. And the Gentile people are caught up in it, and are caught up in it because they have the Roman laws, etc., and the commandments and all of that, even in distant places. The Ten Commandments are there and stand out. So people are living under the influence of the Roman laws and the Jewish laws, the Bible law. They're all living under that in some form. They have sacrifice in some form, reason going way back. Now, having said that, God is trying to help the believing believer to understand they have to get above and beyond that. They have to get that put aside in order to, Romans chapter 6, Hebrews 6, verse 1, to go on to perfection. How are they going to grow up? They aren't going to grow up if they don't get past this. They're caught. So therefore, chapter 7, God gives verses 1, 2, and 3, one sentence in the Greek, and he gives a wonderful, wonderful review of Genesis 14, Melchizedek. So you know, Melchizedek was unique in every way. He had no beginning, he had no mother, he had no father, as it were, verse 3 and all of that. So we have a wonderful historic review in three verses of Melchizedek. And now, having said that, keeping that in mind, we came to verse 4. Now consider how great this man was. In other words, Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek. Hang on. And giving tithes to Melchizedek. How great a man this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. He gave the tithe. Now, having said that, consider Melchizedek and Abraham giving tithes. Melchizedek is very, very great, but not in not only in position, but in history and in the type for the reality, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 5. Who, and verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, remember Aaron, Levi, of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Now, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Levi, Aaron, Levi, the priesthood. So, out of the tribe of Levi. And so, therefore, what did they do? Well, they all were serving. They all offered and recognized Melchizedek in and by way of Abraham. And the way you get that is, remember, that Adam and Eve, Romans 5:12, we are all out of Adam and Eve. We sinned. Where did sin come from? One man. And from one man it passed on to all human beings, because everyone was in Adam. Every one of us. That's where we came from, out of Adam. Where did you come from? Your mother and father? Where did they come from? Their grandmother and great-grandmother. And where did they all come from? We all came same direction. So the Lord Jesus Christ, Melchizedek, has a very unique position. And the Levites recognize that. The Israel recognize that. In particular, in this case, verse 6, you'll notice, please, office of the priesthood, the Levites. They're the priesthood. They aren't the priests. Out of the Levites come the priests, the sons of Aaron. And have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Now, what do we know about the law? And in the law, what were they to do? It's a commandment, and it's according to the law. Why did they give tithes? Because they had to. The law says you have to. It doesn't give you a choice. The law says you have to do it. That's what you do. That's why they gave tithes. They didn't give tithes because they wanted to. They gave tithes because they had to. That's the law. Now, where does the law fit in human history? And why do we have the law? Why don't we have the law? Where does the law fit in, actually? Now, so therefore, exercise the law. They have to. They have to do it. So, picking up, please, and you know, you would know in going back without saving time, because sort of involved. Every time Adam and Eve were saved by grace, they believed the promise, Genesis 3:15, and Adam and Eve were saved. They had to leave the garden because of sin, and therefore Cain and Abel are born outside the garden. Abel is able to go, and Adam and Eve are covered with the coats of skin, and they're very conscious of the sacrifice, and the need for sacrifice. And Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, I should say. Cain and Abel offered sacrifice, Genesis 4:1. And Cain did not offer sacrifice. He would not do it. He just didn't do it. He could have done it. He knew he had to do it, but he didn't do it. He just didn't. He chose. He had the right to choose. Hang on to that word. And he chose not to do it. And the whole host of people after him chose not to do it. And that's where Genesis 6 and the whole world apart from Noah, who found grace, and his family and the Noah's Ark, the whole world was just like that. They had no law. What they do is they had a choice, and they chose not to honor God. What is the choice? Genesis 2:17, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you what? You're going to die. You surely will die. And so therefore, and Genesis 3:5, you know, the devil says, hey, you'll know good and evil like God. Adam and Eve only knew good. Hang on to that part. And Adam and Eve was convinced that if she could have this much wonderfulness in her makeup, that she could have even more. And she took, and when she took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she became bad, evil, evil. She knew evil. And apart from God, apart from being saved, you don't know good. You only know evil. Abel wants to know God, sacrifice. Cain does not agree with God. Genesis 6, the whole system doesn't agree with God by choice. The Genesis flood Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, and they built the tower in a city, as you know, religion and politics. That's where all that came in for all of the nations, Genesis 10. Now, so the whole system is by choice. There's no law. And what we're doing at that point in history, we are in darkness. And Genesis, John 3 tells us that we love darkness rather than light. And we choose the darkness. We didn't have to, but we chose the darkness instead of light. Abraham comes along and believes God. In the world of darkness, he believed God. Genesis 15, it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. That's what it was counted him for, righteousness. Now there's no law. There's no law. No, just choice. Clear choice. And the choice was made rightly by Abraham and Noah, but the world system did not. And therefore, and God made a covenant with Abraham, because Abraham believed God, and believed God, and God made a promise to Abraham to Genesis 3:15 to save whosoever that would believe. And Abraham was an example. So was Job, by the way, and others. But Abraham is picked because of his journey crossing from became the Hebrew, you know, crossing the river, as crossing over. And he is picked because he comes from paganism straight, and he turns and gives his heart to God in Genesis 15 and 6, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so all of that is without the law. Now, over to Exodus 19. I know you know these things, but lock them in. Every time you do something, you lock it in. No matter how you feel about it, you lock it in. And each time you lock in something, you lock in the rest of the things. So you want to understand or say, I know that. Know it solidly, and then the next piece will slide right in. But if you don't know it slowly, and you aren't sure about it, and you forgot, you aren't sure where it is or what it says, how are you going to lock it in? You can't lock it in because you don't know where it is. I know it's in the Bible somewhere, but I don't know where. So, Exodus and chapter 19. Here's the Israel. Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, no law. There's no law. And Israel is given a wonderful promise. They've crossed the Red Sea. They're at Mount Sinai. And God has given them a wonderful opportunity to honor and know and enjoy God. Not like in Egypt, no, like Israel, like Moses, like Abraham, the nation could enjoy God. By in this, and you know verse 4, chapter 19, verse 4, they'd mount up with wings. Verse 4, bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself, Mount Sinai. Now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, you shall be a peculiar prize, privilege, personal treasure unto me, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. For the earth, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So they had a one. Now how could they get that? God gave it as promise. All they had to do is take it. There's no law. Here it is. Promise. A commitment of God. God made it, would lock it in by covenant. God would lock in that by a contract. Singular contract. He signs the contract. They don't sign the contract. He signs the contract. It's an unconditional contract. God signs it. So therefore, they're able to take this and enjoy verses 4, 5, and 6 to be a very special people. That's all they had to do. Now, having said that, they didn't, of course. They were normal human beings doing choosing, and they chose not to. Take that wonderful gift, promise. So you know in verse 8, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So they went, and we're going to do it. We're going to do what we have to do. You tell us what you want. You tell us what you want, and we'll do it. We'll do it all by our lonesome. So having said that, and keeping that in mind, so having God gave the law, and that's, turn the next page, Exodus 20 and 1 through 17, God gave the law. Wonderful, wonderful. In other words, if you want to know how I want you to act as a human being, chapter 20, 1 through 17, I want you to honor me, the Creator, and I want you to honor all the other humans I created in a wonderful arrangement. That's what I want you to do. Simple as that. Simple as that. But, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and Deuteronomy chapter 5 will do the same thing. Now, in the process, what do we know? They keep the law. They're to keep the law and have the law. So here they come, 40 years in the wilderness, there, and they cross over into the Jordan, and God does a wonderful thing to demonstrate this bunch of people, remember Joshua, in 40 years, God has kept a nation, a huge, comparatively for the area, peninsula, a huge 2.5 million plus people with animals of every kind, kept them in a desert place where you couldn't survive. He's kept them for 40 years. If you were a Syrian, a Philistine, what would you know when your scuttlebutt comes across the wavelength? Boy, those Israelites, they live. How could they possibly survive in such a place, right? How could it be? It's impossible. But there they are, not just 1 year, the 40 years approximately. Wow. So, us nations, looking at it, are impressed. We have our gods, all our gods, the Syrian gods, the Philistine gods, and the Egyptian gods, we all got them. But none of our gods compare. We can pray to Zeus, and we can pray to the pyramid and the Sphinx. We can do that. But the Sphinx can never do anything. The pyramid, the Zeus can never do anything. And here's God marvelously demonstrating himself in an awesome way. And you can't back, there's no way. I have my religion. But your religion doesn't touch God's righteousness. Your religion can do nothing. God's righteousness can in his saving grace. And that's where they are, in that place. Now hang on to that. Over to Joshua. And in chapter 4, maybe. Joshua in chapter 4. And you will note, you'll remember from our study, maybe. Chapter 4, go to verse 21 to pick a little context. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their father in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Remember the 12 stones in the Jordan River and 12 stones on the bank of the Gilgal, on the Jordan bank in Gilgal. Verse 22. Then shall you let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Now what did that do? Yeah, why did you do it that way? You could remember we shared when we did all of those things, numbers and all those. Israel left Egypt, they could have marched. Right here they are in Goshen, here's the Mediterranean Sea, and here's the Nile River, and here they are. And all they had to do is, here's this plush area, and walk from Goshen, right here, here's the Mediterranean, walk right up, follow the Red Sea, follow the Mediterranean Sea, I should say, and follow the Mediterranean right up into the land. Short, brief, easy, nothing to it. But he didn't do that. They didn't do that. God sent them, and think of all the context, and God put them what? Down they had to go, and go to the Red Sea, and cross the Red Sea in a marvelous way. Why? I want all the world to know how I brought you out. And thus, verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, the world is to pay attention, and they did. There's no way on earth that the world at that time around them had to know. The people that lived 40 years in the wilderness have just crossed over the Jordan River, and there's no water in it, 25 miles. No water. Boom. But before that, they crossed the Red Sea, 4.5 miles maybe. Crossed the Red Sea. Dry land. I'm impressed. I have Zeus and I have Minerva and all these other gods, Mercury and all them. Gods, I have them. No one does that. God does that. Why? He's God. So what is God doing? Here's the whole world with all their cities and politics and religions out there, and God has put them to Mount Sinai to demonstrate his marvelous person in a most marvelous way. The trouble is, Israel isn't in the place to understand what God was doing. They were under the law. That's what they wanted, under the law. And therefore, the law held them, it commanded them, and they had to do it. If they didn't do it, they were in trouble. And they were, if they didn't keep the law. Remember when they really were with it, before they go into idolatry and all these departures from the Lord, what do we know in the process? Think of Exodus, you don't have to go back there. Here's Exodus 20, thou shalt not murder, remember? Exodus, thou shalt not kill, murder is the word. Not kill, there's a need to kill, but don't murder. So, and then the chapter 21, what are you gonna do? If your son or something gets out of line, make sure the parents are the first ones to kill him. Punish him, kill him. That's the law. The law says, they die. That's what you do. Now, but they were very rarely ever in enjoying the law because they were not believing. So therefore, God, you did a wonderful thing. There is no law, but they are under the law. And in the process, God is demonstrating his wonderful word. Now, here's Israel. Is Israel, God is being gracious, crossing the Jordan and winning the northern kings and the southern kings and Palestine and their victory over the Philistines, etc. And in the process, God is holding them in. What makes the difference between Israel and this whole world? God. Is Israel enjoying God? Exodus 19, the promise. Exodus 17, the covenant. Are they enjoying God's contract to keep the law? To honor, to bless them and make them a special, prized, privileged people? No, they're not enjoying that at all. Their only reason they're kept is because the law. And that's why they had the law to bind them and the sacrifices. Every day they had to sacrifice because God said the reason you're in the middle of this circle of law is because of the sacrifices that I'm going to die on the cross, on Calvary's cross, hang on to that. So I'm going to have to do that. So therefore, I'm going to keep you in this package. So the Israelites are noted because of their law and their sacrifices every day to God. Now hang on to that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Galatians. In Galatians and in chapter 3. And you'll note, God, remember the law is keeping them. What keeps them? The law is a have to. You have to do it. And they knew that. But they didn't do it. But God didn't change the law, and God, the law was there to keep them in jail, as it were, a jailer in the midst of the world. They broke out of jail, and remember Samuel was the last judge, and Samuel judges them after the judges, everyone doing that which is right in their own eyes, and he's the last judge. And what did they cry out? Give us a king. We want to be like the other nations. We don't want to be in this box. We want to be like the other nations. And that's what happened. So now, and God gave them their request, and it wasn't very long. They're going to become like other nations. They want to act like one. And what's it going to be? And tell me how this is going. The 10 tribes in the north are going to be taken by the Assyrians. What happened to the law and the sacrifice, and the synagogue, whoops. A little later, the 2 tribes in the south, Judah, Benjamin, the Babylonian captivity, what happened to Jerusalem, the city, and the temple? Whoops, gone. Gone. You didn't want the law? They wanted out of the law. Out of the law, hang on to that. Now, so here's Galatians. The purpose, chapter 3, I'm picking up if I can. And a little bit I can read, even though I want to go to one place, but in chapter 3, pick up at verse 16 for a little bit of context. And now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one seed, Christ, the seed of the woman, as of many as one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. And thus this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, it cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. What God promised Abraham, Israel didn't want the promise. The promise never goes away. The law is there. The law is going away in part. Verse 18. For reason, if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. But they don't want to go by the promise, all that you say, God, we will do. They didn't want to go by that. So now, God gave the law, down to verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept before we believed, Israel believed. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should be afterwards. They were kept until they would believe. And they had to be kept because out of Israel is the tribe of Judah. From the tribe of Judah is the seed of the woman, our Lord Jesus Christ, who had to go to the cross. You can't get rid of Israel like that. You have to keep it because that's the tribe, that's the nation God is going to raise up the Messiah from, the Melchizedek, the high priest. Now, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. I'll read the end of verse 23, that it should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law was there to contain us. That's all it was. That's all it was for. Because can you keep the law? Who can keep the law? No one. The law can't be kept. The law is from the lawgiver. It is telling you the righteousness of God is demanded, and you can't do it. God didn't give the law. God gave the promise. That's what God did. The people wanted the law. That's why they got the law. The law can't do anything. No flesh shall what? Glory in my presence. Period. And all the law does says you can't. And all the law does is reveal your flesh. That's all it does. It's a mirror and says you can't. You can't. Remember we had years ago, we used to say, here's a yardstick. Here's a golden yardstick up to the ceiling. And you're to come up here and be measured. So each one of us would come up and stand, make believe, and we'd stand in front of under the thing, and we're way down here, and the law's way up there. We can't measure up to it. We just don't measure up. And we can never measure up. Wow. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, and remember, without turning there in Romans 7, what did Paul do? Paul went and said what? Paul said, he's in the flesh. He's saved. He got saved. But he had to understand the struggle. He had to get free from being saved. He had to be free. Hang on to that and think of the morning coming up. And in the process, he had to look to God. And the law bound him. And he had to, in me dwelleth no good thing, Romans 7, 18. Now, back over to Deuteronomy. Chapter 28, to see that a little better and easier. Deuteronomy in chapter 27 better. Deuteronomy 27. And may I go, remember the Ten Commandments, the blessings and the cursings, chapter 27. And we go through the cursings if you don't keep the law and you break the law. So down to, for time's sake, chapter 27, verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law, to do them. Then all the people shall say, Amen. All the law. And you remember, without going there in James, if you offend in one point, James 2:10, if you offend in one point, you're what? Guilty of all. And we use the mountain, you know, all these things. And here's the mountain, here comes the airplane, down here, the mountain, Mount Everest, halfway up into the atmosphere, almost 30,000 feet, whatever, coming along, and we don't go up, boom, we hit, we're all dead. But we're really working at it. We're working at it like the Pharisees, and we're working at it. So we got up here to this level, up here, and coming in, as we were coming along, and we're just 5 feet, 5 feet. Here's the top of the mountain, 5 feet down. Do you want to be in the airplane? Do you want to be in the airplane? I don't think so. It's going to crash. But it's only 5 feet. Doesn't make any difference. You keep the whole law. If you don't keep the whole law, you crash. If you don't go high enough, you crash. It's the law. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so remember the comment, the law says you have to, Mosaic law. So in order to keep God's wonderful, wonderful grace and plan, Christ would die on the cross to save whosoever, and so to keep that in wonderfully, wonderfully alive, God had to go and give the law to Israel. Israel was caught up in the law, bound by the law, as it were, and the people. So when you read Hebrews, back to that for a thought, when you read Hebrews, you understand what he's saying, because here's the Jewish people there, the temple's there, here's the Jewish people, here's the Gentile people. They all know the commandments and the law and the Jews, they all got it. And the priesthood that Diana and all of the temple prophets, the temples and the idols and the gods and the prophetesses and everything, they all had their priest. You go and offer to the priest, you pay to the priest and whatever, and you pay him and you do whatever, and you get all these different things as you go and do what you do. That's part of the priesthood. All of those priesthoods, the Levite priesthood, the Aaron, the Levites, the priesthood, and all the other priesthoods are useless. They're useless. That's what Hebrews. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's not like any other priesthood. He's not like anything you trust, traditions, and all the things that we do don't work. They just don't work. He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's the only one. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God's wonderful, wonderful plan, and God's people thus were very, very different under the law. They had to dress and eat and everything. Why? Because God was holy, and they were to understand God's holiness, and they were to make a difference. They were to learn a difference all of that time under the law, a difference between holy and unholy. And just to see that, you weren't far away, over to Leviticus and to chapter 10, not very far away. And Leviticus in chapter 10, you'll pick it up. Pick up what? During the time of the law, they were to be exercised so that they could know the law. They didn't believe in the flesh. The flesh could not please God, but they tried to remind themselves that God was holy, etc. And that's what God wanted them to understand. They were in jail. Understand the jailer. And understand why you're in jail. How are you going to understand why you're in jail? Chapter 10, picking up, if I can, verse 9. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation. Why? Lest you die. It should be a statute forever throughout all your generations. Verse 10, that purpose you might put a difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. You need to know the difference. That's what they had to learn. They weren't going to try. What did Abraham do? Genesis 15. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God. He didn't earn it. He didn't merit it. He just believed God. What are they doing? They're going to try to do it. We're going to do it. You can't do it. And therefore, you're going to dress, eat. You're learning what? To make a difference. Make a difference. You aren't. God is different, and you need to come to God and receive his promise and his grace and be saved ultimately. Now, chapter 11, while you're here, as you'd know, and in chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse, I'll read verse 13, 43. Leviticus 11, 43. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled there. What you eat, how you touch the bugs, the animals, dead people, menstrual cloth, whatever, all of it. You understand, you're going to understand death. Something isn't alive. Now, so therefore, verse 44, and for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defy yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Why? Verse 45, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy, etc. Now God, so they were to have, but they wanted that, as we shared, a desire to be like other people. And they they couldn't. The law wasn't meant to be kept. The law was meant to contain them. And they just couldn't get out and be accepted as a Jew. The people coming in had to adapt themselves to the Jewish practices within reason. They had to do so. So here's the law. And the law is containing them. But what's God looking for? He's looking for a relationship. He's looking for them to love God, to move to God, to trust God. So therefore, over if you would to see that, Matthew, here's the law. Now, they should learn something from the law. Law points to love. Love points to life. Law, love, life. The law and love point, law plus love equals life, wonderful life. God, the righteous law giver, and his righteousness make for a relationship to God called life, to know him. Now, so here in, what did I say over in Romans? Romans in chapter 10. I didn't say Romans. I've got too many things. What did I say? Matthew. Thank you. Be patient with me. What can I tell you? I just sort of mumble out. If I wrote it all down, it'd be easy, you know. I could just read this to you. You know, that's if I could read. And I could see without making a mistake. You got it? Matthew, chapter 22. And you will note, 22, here's the law. Now God, the lawgiver, Christ himself, who gave the law, he tells you what's the law for. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. If we took time to read, we may, hang on. Matthew chapter 22, chapter 22, verse 36. Master, which, 22:36, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That's the first four commandments of Exodus 20. The next commandments, 6, verse 39. The second group is verse 20, 12 and on. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, if you just understood, I loved you, I died on the cross already, Genesis 3:15, you need to believe, you have a right to choose, you have a right to choose, you have to understand, and you have to choose. And if you don't choose, you're in trouble, evil is going to prevail. So, therefore, you need to choose. And in the process, and that's all I want you to choose me, not choose you. I'll do it. I'll do whatever you say. Not you, it's God. Choose God. Choose God's wonderful giving and grace. Now, so therefore, on these two commandments hang all the prophets, etc. I want you to love me. That's the one. That's the one. I want you to do it because you want to do it. Why don't you want to do it? Because you got evil. The day you took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you filled your heart with evil. Remember Mark chapter 7? Hang on, just do it for the sake of exercise and keep you awake a little longer. Mark chapter 7. And you will note, holding your finger there, keep the whole law. To love the relationship. Mark chapter 7, we're looking at our old nature, us humans. And chapter 7, sliding right along, if I can, verse 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I'll read verse 21. And from within, this is the human heart. It's not what you eat, it's not what you put in, not what you put on, not what you put in your mouth, it's on your body. No, it's what comes out of your heart. For from within, out of the heart, heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, and covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil heart, blasphemy, foolishness. Verse 23, all these evils come from within and defile a man. Evil. And that's, you got it. So, and you know, if you read Galatians 5, about 19, 20, 21, all about the works of the flesh, you know what one of the works of the flesh is? Not only do we house evil, is idolatry. What's the work of the flesh? Idolatry. Why are we into something other than God? Something, someone other than God. Idols, idolatry. It's in us. We don't want our old nature. That's why the flesh cannot please God, ever. And the law does is condemn. That's all it's for, condemns. It says sit tight and keep you in jail. At least you stay alive. If the mafia is trying to hit you, right? They could get you in jail too. But make believe, a good jail. And you go in jail, I'm going to put you in confinement. I'll put you on Alcatraz all by yourself and keep the island protected so you can stay alive. Well, the jail, the law keeps in jail, protects the Israel. But Israel didn't follow the law and therefore crashed, didn't love the relationship, didn't want the relationship. When they would crucify Christ, why did they do it? Because they wanted to what? Think of the Gospels. They wanted to keep their what? Traditions. They wanted to keep their power, priests, Pharisees, Sadducees. They wanted to keep their positions, their power, their privileges. Who wants, I hope I don't lose it. We're going to go to Washington, right? We're going to take our helicopter right now, and we're going to fly to Washington. And we're going to fly over Washington, and we're going to drop some special fuzz down into the people, on the people, everyone there, and on the White House, and especially all of that, press senators and congressmen, going to drop it down. And we're going to drop all that down so that they are just going to want, they're going to want what? Just good. Just good common sense. Forget Democrat, independent, Republican. They just want common sense business, common sense living, right and wrong, according to the commandments, etc., and to do whatever. That's all we want. And from now on, they aren't interested in making money, getting money, lobbying, or anything. They aren't interested for all the different projects and stuff, the stoop. I keep hearing them now and then. $5 zillion to help mosquitoes know why they bite. How's that? There's no question you need to study that, you see. And then some other silkworm thing. So where are we? You see, that's our world. So I drop the fuzz down and everyone gets good. Wouldn't it be different? We go like the old timers. When the Congress met, they only went in the winter because they got their farms to take care of in the summer. And that's what they had to do. And they came for a while when it was snowing, had their meeting, did everything, went home, and until the next time. Wow. Wow. Now, but we don't have that. We don't have the fuzz. We get everything but fuzz. So therefore, there is no love for the relationship and that's in our country. We don't want that. Right now, we don't want that. We don't want the fuzz to come down. We don't want to fix things. We aren't going to fix things. How's that? You say we are. Don't hold your breath. We'll see what they fix. We'll see what they fix. You know all this stuff better than I do. It's horrible. You know, but we got a mess. No mess. Anyway, you understand. Now, so in the process, what do we got? What did they do? The Jews, they wanted to preserve the system, tradition, everything they had. They didn't want to lose it. So they crucified him. Romans chapter 10. I got to quit Romans 10 quick. Romans chapter 10, picking up, please. In chapter 10, in verse 4 for time's sake. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I got to quit. I couldn't even get it. I knew I wouldn't get this for you. I'm trying to help you see. Anyway, hope you got a little bit. I do. You got to understand. If you don't understand, oh man, anyway, God help us. Thank you.